Alright, we start off Parshas Kisavo with when you come to the land that Hashem is going to give you as an inheritance, and you will inherit it, and you will go there. You will take from the first of all the fruit in the ground. That you brought from the land. Thank you. I messed up that this morning also. I said lecha when I was landing.
Okay.
I corrected myself. You'll put it in a basket. You go to the place that God has chosen to place His name there. So it sounds all great. We got Bikurim. We got this idea of you make fruit in your backyard. You get all this fruit in your backyard. You decide to give some to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Kohanim, and you give over some to other people. The only problem is every parsha starts off with a bang. It starts off with a real bang. Like Kisete starts off with Eishes Tifas Torah. Something you never thought was going to be mutter, it matters it. Parsha Shoftim starts off with, you got to make judges for yourself. You got to have something, you know, to protect yourself from all the bad things that might be in the world. It started with Re'eh. Re'eh is like, I've given you life, I've given you death. There's crazy things that you could have in this world. Which one do you choose? All these things are out there, and it's like the beginning of a parsha is always this one thing where you have 150 Meforshim. You know, you have everything out there. The question is, why start off with Bikurim? Why do that in the beginning of the parsha? So the cute answer is, Bikurim is your first fruits. This is the beginning of the parsha.
Thank you.
I didn't like that.
Yes, thanks, right?
Adorable.
Okay, that's not the shot. The real shot is this whole thing is a remez. The whole thing is a hint to something else entirely. We know there's something called pshat, and that's the literal translation of the pasuk. We know there's something called drush, and that's taking out of the pasuk and trying to learn something from it and getting something out of it. There's sod, which is the Kabbalah. Remez, it's what the pasuk is talking about behind the scenes. It's like what God wanted with this pasuk, you just couldn't say it outright. So v'haya kisav ol aretz, the aretz is not referring to anything else but olam haba. V'haya is a lashon simcha. Always use the lashon simcha. You're happy. Why are you happy? Because you're finally leaving this world. You're going into Olam Haba. Asher Nalulach Nosin Lecha Nachla, that He gives you as an inheritance. Why an inheritance? Because V'Rishta, you're going to inherit it based on the mitzvos and the Maisim Tovim that you do in this world. V'Yashavtaba, that's going to be a real yeshiva. That's going to be the real sitting that you're going to do. Not like as if this world is a prose door going into somewhere else. It's going to be a real place. You're going to be able to sit down and get everything you need in that world. V'Lakachta Me'Reshis Kopri Adama. You take from the first, the best of all the fruits that you have in Olam Hazeh, meaning the Torah that you have, the that you have, the avoda that you have, everything that you have here, you take it all, Asher Tavi Me'artachov, and that you brought from your land, which is the land of Olam Hazeh, Asher Nalecha Nosin Lach, that God put you inside. That's not a tenet, and you put it inside a tenet. Now, a tenet is a wicker basket. It's a wicker basket. It's a weird type of basket. Otherwise, you would have said the word sal. Maybe you say the word cleal. Hold on 1 second. But it's a wicker basket. Why a wicker basket? Because you know what you make them? You weave them together. You know what you're supposed to do? Guys, it's going to be a little hard for us to do, but when you go up to Olam Haba, they expect it of our Torah. They expect something. They don't want you to just go up there and just be like, hey, I'm here. They don't want to tap dance or anything. They want to see you, like, go ahead and say over to our Torah. Like, it just happened in New York. I went to New York. How do I know? I was there. I can't tell you anything more than what Chazal say. But the Or Chaim does say this. And this happened. I can tell you right now, I went to New York 3 weeks ago. Lo aleinu. But I did go to New York. And when I was going down, I was going from Flatbush to Borough Park. And I was supposed to meet a Rosh Hashiva in Borough Park. I was going to Borough Park. I was supposed to meet him. His name is Rav Label Katz. He's up there. He's a very chashuv guy. He has all these sparim and everything. I shouldn't really call him a guy, but he's a Rosh Hashiva, and I was going to go visit him. As I was going, I was supposed to get a bracha for this whole program that I do in the morning and everything, and in the afternoon. I was supposed to get a whole bracha from him and everything. So as I was going there, I sat in the car. I was driving, and I turned to my wife, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to say a Shtickle Torah. He's not going to just let me walk in and just be like, hey, how's everything going? You know, how's the weather? Great. The Bears? Good. Everything's all good, you know? Yeah, they're supposed to win. He's not going to let us talk about something like that. He's going to say to me, no, say something. So it happens every time you go see a Rosh Hashiva. If you go to a Rosh Hashiva, it's not just like all fun and games, you know? They expect something out of you. So I pulled the car to the side of the road, and I sat there for like 3 minutes, and I'm like, I knew I was about to do Bava Kama, and I tried thinking to myself, and I'm like, oh, I got a grizz. Okay, whenever you have a brisker rub, it always sounds good, you know? You have like two pelukim, get this, that way, you know, you always have something. Whenever you get a brisker rub, and I knew there was a kash on it, it's a famous question that everybody asks on it. I remember that so one of my chavrusas once gave an answer to the shiloh, so I could say like, oh, I have a shtickle Torah. So I got back on the road, and I started driving, and I got there. I walked inside, and of course, the first thing, you know, I sat down in his library, and everything is very intimidating. It's like one of those like small rooms, not a big room or anything, and it's full of svarim. You know, it was like so full of svarim, it was like double packed, double stacked on the shelves. So like you feel like, and they're like coming off off the shelves a little bit, so you feel like if you hit the shelf, it's going to fall down on you. And you get to look at all this farm on the side, and you get to see like what farm he's been learning lately, because they're all, nothing's in a set, nothing's in order or anything. There's like one safer here, one safer over there. There's like a tour, one part of the tour is there, one part of the tour is over there, and they always get to pick off the shelf exactly what they're looking for. It's crazy. But either way, I sat down, and of course, the first thing he said to me was, new. So I'm like, how are you? How's everything going? How's the bears? Of course, I had to say over the Shtickel Torah. But it's, think of that million times more. Because you're going up to Beis and Shomaila, they say to you, so what are you doing in this world? What did you do? What did you get out of it? You can even say over a little bit of a chesed that you've done. You know, something great that you've done inside this world. But you got to prepare yourself. If you're not prepared, what are you going to do? You're just going to be like, well, I can say most of the Simpsons lines by heart. So, you know, I can give you that. I mean, now it's already Family Guy. You know, I can tell you like almost every Family Guy episode by heart. Like, I can tell you that. You know, is that good? I'm like, you can just see, like, the faces up there. Like, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, all, like, looking down and just being like... You know, just staring at you like, what's wrong with you? Oh, how could this be? How could you have done this, you know? Well, what did you do with your life? What did you do over there? You didn't prepare yourself before you came up here? Now, obviously, if a person, chas v'shalom, dies before his time, and he's killed somehow, that's totally out. God understands that. You didn't get time to prepare. You didn't have any time to prepare or anything. Let's talk about when you had time to prepare. You go there, it's not the batena. You make a wicker basket. You weave it all together, you get everything together, and you pull one board with another board and everything, you put it all together, you come out with something. You ever know that music? It's a crazy thing, no? You know how people, like, they calm down, they gotta listen to music. Some people, to calm down, they have to listen to Metallica. Some people, to calm down, they have to listen to AC/DC, you know, and that calms them down. Well, yeah, you had a question before, Andy, yeah?
So you compare Bikurim to Olam Haba?
Not Bikurim. This whole concept of Bikurim, we're compared to Olam Haba, and the Bikurim themselves, the first fruits, are compared to your mitzvos and everything you do in this world. You know, some people, they have to chill out. In order to chill out, they need to listen to some type of music. Music has a certain type of power to it. And this power puts something... It's as if it puts it inside your head. It ingrains things inside your head. Certain ways and certain chords and certain things that you do can bring about certain thoughts within a person, to the point where if you know how to work with music, it's like you're building worlds. It's like you're building one world after the other. I don't know if anybody's like a pianist or a violinist or any of those guys, but these guys who do those things, the guys that do know anything about music, if you go through, you build it up to a crescendo, and then it goes down again. But there's always like one big thing where you go up and you're building up to something, and then it goes down. It sounds like a story. If you know what you're doing, like the beauty of what Mozart and Beethoven were able to do with their classical music is to tell a story within the music. That if you pay attention and if you do things with it, you can learn things from it. That chachma is not a goyish chachma. It's a Jewish chachma. There's a wisdom behind music. And it's really ours. It got taken away from us when the Greeks came, because we lost it when we got sent over to Babylonia, we got sent over to Babel with all Gullus Babel and everything. We lost the ability to make music. It's Al Naros Babel, Shom Yashavnu V'gam Bachinu B'Zachoynu Es Sion, Shom Nasher Es Shir Chavzah. How are we going to be able to sing? That's Imesh Gachich Yerushalayim. You know, all the greatest songs are Imesh Gachich. It's like, those are the songs. All the songs, our ability to sing and to give music was lost there. And it was sent over to the Goyim. And the Greeks got it from then on. And the Greeks had that ability to be able to bring it up and to bring music about. And that's why they were so into partying and everything like that. They used it for the wrong reasons. But there are still some people that have that chachma of music. So in the time of Minhagim, in Hilchos Shavuos, it brings down that there was a Rav who knew the chachma of music. And he knew how to use it for Torah. That if you would use this music, you'll remember everything you learn. So his Talmidim got the basic ideas, but they were never able to get the sodos behind it. They weren't able to get the secrets behind it. So they asked him, you know, what's the deal? What can you tell it to us? He was on his deathbed. They said, if you go, we're not going to have it anymore. So the Rav said to them, I can't. I'm saving that for my first drasha on Olam Haba. That one drasha that he wants to save for himself, you're not supposed to say out in Olam Haza. And there were other people that got it. It's not like the whole chachma has been lost, but you're going to have to find the person that knows it. There are certain people that have it. Karlbach knows, you know? You have no idea who could have possibly taken down this Chachma music and brought it down. But there are people that have it. And it's the exact same thing over here. The Samta V'Ten is you take that stuff, you bring it up, and you get everything together, and you put it all together. Now, Vasal HaKohen Asher Yabayim Imahem, you go to the Kohen. The Kohen is Michoel. Michoel is the Kohen Gadol up in Olam Haba. He's connected the Kohen Gadol in Olam Haza, and what he's supposed to do is be Makriv. He brings to the Mizbeach all of your mitzvos, and all your Meisen Tovim, all of your Mesiris Nefesh, the stuff that you did in this world. He's Makriv it on top of the Mizbeach. He brings it up as a Korban to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you did something good, will bring you up a level higher into Olam Haba, and he takes that stuff, puts it up on top of the Mizbeach, and brings it up. Thus referred to, Vasal HaKohen Asher Yabayim Imahem, you go to the Kohen to Michoel, you say to him, I came to the land, I came to Olam Haba doing the things that I know that I was supposed to do. The Kohen, Michoel, takes the mitzvos and all the Meisim Tovim away from your hands, and he places it in front of the Mizbeach. And you answer back, you know why I'm in this world? You know why I got put down in this world? Why couldn't I be just in Olam Haba? Because Arami Oved Avi. Arami is the trickster. Normally that refers to Lava. Here it refers to the Nachash, says the Orachaim and the Yalkut Ruveni. Refers to the Nachash. Nachash tricked my father, Adam Rishon, and made Adam Rishon do a chait. By Yered Mitzrayim, we went down not to Mitzrayim, literally, to the pains and tribulations inside this world. You know how much tsar there is inside this world? You know how much pain we're in? I mean, just walking around, you could trip on something. That little bit of pain is still a pain. By Yagar Shambim Seimad, we sit there with so little knowledge of what's going on in this world. We don't have a clue. Why are we here? What are we doing? Why is God doing this to us? But if you take that and you use it and you try to use it for good, you could become a tremendous person. You could become a goy gadol atzim barov, a tremendous person, all the way strong, and very many, with a lot of good stuff about you. There were bad things that happened, we got afflicted. We had to work. We had to do hard work to be able to live inside this world. We didn't complain. We cried out, we davened to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he listened to our voices. He saw all our problems. And he brought us out. He helped us through our davening. And that's supposed to be the very, very end. And finally, he brought us to Olam Haba. The only comparison that we have in this world to such a thing, which is spiritual, so it's obviously not physical, but it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Something that's great, something that's greater than anything that there is out there. That's the Eretz Zavas Chalav Udivash. Now, just to bring this into our, over here, the whole point of Bikurim. So, you guys ever planted anything before? Ever planted anything? I mean, you don't have to live on a farm. I think everybody, when they were in kindergarten, had that little bean plant. You know, we had like the little dirt. So my daughter, so it does, it dies after a while, and it's sad. It's very sad. And I remember when my daughter first brought it home, that the first thing my wife told me, I'm like, oh, cool, she got a plant. I'm always like, it's going to die in 3 days. And I'm like, no, we're going to let it live. And like the next morning, you know, you get to see like that little tiny sprout like come out. And like, I pulled my daughter over, and I'm like, look what we did. And you got that little tiny little sprout that comes out, and the next day you look at it and it gets even bigger. You're like, yeah, it's me. Look at this. Look what I did. And you see immediate results, and you're so happy. And then after the third day it gets even bigger, and you're just like, congratulations to me. You know, and you feel so happy about it, till finally after the fifth or sixth day, then it's like, it's a bean plant, you know? Starts going down, you're just like, oh, it's a stupid wife. Blame it on somebody else, you know? It wasn't me, I mean, mine lived. It's your fault, you forgot to tell me to water it, you know? Then it's already, you know, you're going to blame it on somebody else. But the point behind agriculture is supposed to be all about me. You plant something in the ground unlike anything else in the world. You see immediate results. And you see something that you yourself made. And you look at it and you're like, what? That's all me. That's all me. Can you imagine? Somebody comes up to you and you're dancing around your field. I'm the greatest planter in the world. And you're going around, and not necessarily that song, but anything else that you can think of as you're walking around the field. And somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I want you to take that seed, that fruit that you just had, take it and bring it over to your Yerushalayim, give it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, give it over to the Kohanim. Can you imagine what the guy's going to say? I mean, how many stores have you been to where they have the first dollar that they made? They put it up in glass, up on the wall, until somebody breaks the glass and takes it out. You know, the first theft always takes that first dollar out. But you put it up on the wall and there's that glass up on the wall with, this was my very first dollar. I got this on my very first day of work. God's telling you, you didn't do it. I did it. You just did a little bit of ishtadlus. You tried a little bit. But it's all me. God is saying, I'm the one who did everything for you. You can't attribute everything to yourself. The point of agriculture is to make it me. I'm the one that did everything. But don't think that way, Hashem says. Give it to me. Bring it to me so that you know it's not you that's doing these things in this world. It's me that's doing these things in this world. And know that there's something else out there. It's hakaras hatov almost. Feeling good about things that people did for you. There's a guy who goes around, it's unfortunate, I don't think he's Jewish, but he goes around from place to place, and he takes food, he asks for tzedakah, he knows what tzedakah is, he knows the concept of tzedakah, and he goes around and he goes to like kiddushes, and he goes to this and that, and whatever it is. Nah, don't think that you know who you're talking about, because I wouldn't have said something that's so obvious, like kiddush man or something like that. You know, be like, you know, that's walking around all Chicago going and eating every kiddush, you know? I wouldn't say something so obvious, or I'd be like, oh, okay, his name's Paul, you know? Like, I wouldn't say something like that. So there's a guy, he goes around and he checks everything out, whatever, he goes and he eats everything. Like, I remember I was sitting one time inside a shul, it was over the summer, it was a couple years ago, and the guy comes inside, and he's like, where's the shul phone? So I'm like, you know, it's over there. He's like, alright, and he goes inside. So I'm like, you know, I don't think that the shul allows you to use it. So the guy's like, what? Why wouldn't they allow me to use it? I'm a poor man. I gotta use the phone and everything. I can't understand. And then he goes on a tirade for 30 minutes. I probably should have just let him use the phone. But he went on a tirade for 30 minutes about how things have changed inside this world. It used to be people used to give you everything you wanted. And now nobody gives you anything. And you can't. He doesn't have a place to stay and this and that and everything like that. And I honestly felt for the guy. And I did call up Rabbi Eichenstein and Rabbi Cohn. And I asked them both, you know, what should I do? Like, I really want to help this guy. And they both said, no, don't worry. So I didn't. But either way, it's a whole long story. Don't worry about it. But regardless, the point is that you got to think about this for a second. He's like complaining about the Jewish community. The Jewish community does nothing for me. They've been supporting him for 25 years. 25 years he's been around. They've given him jobs at some points. They've given him money. He goes around to every kiddush. It's not like anybody goes up to him and says, I'm sorry, this kiddush is for shul members only. Can you please leave? You know? He goes around to every, like, anytime there's a function. You know, he always goes around, he sits down and everything. It's not like they're doing bad, but he won't look at the good things. He'll only look at the bad things. I'm not saying it's a part of him that he just can't understand. But we have that ourselves. We just don't understand. We have all these good things. Like somebody was saying before, that like, oh, it's so bad. They don't let us have any fun. What do you want to do? I want to sit in the street and play a guitar. And they don't let you do that. No. They won't allow me to. It's not that they don't allow you to. Don't think of it as being like, oh, they don't allow me to do that one real big thing that I want to do. They do allow you to do thousands of things. They allow you to do as many things as you could possibly want. Don't look at the bad side. I mean, I happen to be a very big optimist. I mean, I'm not the type of guy to say, like, the glass is half full or half empty. I think it's, like, overflowing, and then the glass cracked, and there was a big bucket underneath, and it all got flowed inside, and there's all water, and then everything's good, and it's the best water in the world. I'm that type of a guy. But the fact is, like, there's so many people. The best that I can compare it to is like Cubs fans and White Sox fans. You get the White Sox fans. I'm like, I don't know. I'll just tell you, like, when you listen to something like after the White Sox like lose a game, even if it was like game three, you know, in the third game of the season, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, they're not going to do it. It's over. It's all over. Everything's done. We're done. We can't do anything. Right. Meanwhile, the Cubs win a game. It's all of a sudden like, oh, Kerry Wood's going to come back. Oh, he's going to come back. He's going to be great. Oh, Mark Pryor, he's fine. Everything, like, the biggest optimist. All of a sudden, like, when finally they realize, like, they're challenging for last place, then it's already like, all right, maybe not only is the glass half empty, there was no glass to begin with. Then, you know, like, the water was harsh. It was like it was ice, and even the ice was like, I don't know, it was sand. You know, it was just whatever. But like, the fact is, you have the optimist versus the pessimist. You always got to look at things in an optimistic sort of a way. And that's what a Hakaras HaTov is all about. To look at it instead of being like, oh, God, I got to give this up to God. You know, my first fruit, I wish I could keep it for myself. Or I got to give that first dollar to tzedakah, you know, instead of like putting it up on my wall. Why can't I keep it for myself? Why can't I do something? Don't look at it. It's not that way. You got to look at it in the other way. And that's what tefillah is all about. There's a crazy medrash. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and therefore they weren't going to bring Bikurim, he set up Seder HaTefillah. So everybody asks, what are you talking about? The Avos set up Seder HaTefillah. And if you're talking about the actual words of Tefillah, that was set up by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, by Bavel. That wasn't set up by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did nothing when it came to Tefillah. Where do we see that from? You say, no, it's different. Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. We know those, right? Shem Hashem, Kel Racham Achan, Ner Chaim, Rav Chasam Yemes, etc. There's 13 times that it says the name Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, within Parshas Bikurim. 13 times where it says it. What's the reason why? Because the whole point of it, the whole point of Bikurim, is to cause us Hakaras HaTov, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see that we're thanking Him for what He did for us, and to have Rachamim on us, to give us mercy, and to say like, oh, okay, fine, I see that you guys are trying, I'll give you a little bit, I'll give you something instead. Bikurim is just the exact same concept as Tefillah. You dive into Hashem, what's the first thing we say? Hashem, you're great. Hashem, you're awesome. Hashem, you're unbelievable. And then after we say, by the way, I need this and this and this and this. And at the end, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let there be peace. That's three steps back. We go all around. We have all that. What's the point? The point is Hakaras HaTov. We know that we use Tefillah for our own purposes to ask for certain things that we might need. But the basic idea behind all of Tefillah is Hakaras HaTov, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He's done for us, and then saying, and by the way, I also need this. That's the point. And it all comes from this basic concept over here. Okay. I love this sport. I happen to love this sport. I can't tell you how much I love it. You get to say it on Pesach. You get to say it, like, I don't know, around Toldos time. You get to say it around this time. Like, any time during the year, it's one of those boards where you're just like, oh, I got a board. You know, you can say it over to anybody. Arami Oved Avi is Pasuk Hei. Arami Oved Avi by Yered Mitzrayim. The trickster, Lavan, he made my father lose out, and we went down to Mitzrayim. Arami is Lavan. Avi is Yaakov Avinu. The question is, what did Lavan Arami try to do to Yaakov? Steal his money and everything. Steal his money, take away his sheep, and get rid of everything. And then by Yered Mitzrayim, he went down to Mitzrayim. What? No, he didn't. He went to Eretz Yisrael. Met up with Esav, he had the whole thing, he gave the sheep over.
By Yosef,
and afterwards. And then later on, what does one have to do with the other? Arami over the Avi, and then by Yered Mitzrayim, what does one have to do with the other? Satmar Rav says it's only Rabbi Yomi Satmar can say such a thing. It's by far the craziest word you've ever heard. And if it's not, then I'll tell you another one later on. It'll be the craziest word you'll ever hear. But this is one of the craziest words you'll ever hear. The point is like this. Lavan Arami, what did he try to do? He said, all right, Yaakov, we're going to split up sheep. I'm going to get all the white sheep. You're going to get all the black sheep. So all the sheep that were born black. Then he said, all right, fine. I get all the black sheep. You get all the white sheep. All the sheep that were born white. So then he said, all right, I'll get all the black and white sheep. You get all the orange sheep. All the sheep that were born
orange.
Green. No, orange, you're right. Yeah, orange. And they were all born orange. Then afterward he said, okay, fine. They're like, I'm going to get all the different colored sheep. You're going to get the spotted sheep. He's like, all right. All the sheep that came out were spotted. Everything worked out, right? So finally, Levin said, all right, that's it. He said, I'm going to get all the males. You get all the females. Good luck. That's what he told him. So Yaakov had a dream. And in this dream, a malach came to him and said, put a certain type of a stick inside the water. When the sheep go near the water, they're going to drink from the water and stare at the stick. The water is going to go inside them and impregnate them, and they're going to have kids from that water. To Medrash, says straight out that those kids are going to come from the water that they drink while they're staring at that stick. So Yaakov Avinu did so, and all the sheep were being born. There were sheep being born. And the B'nai Levin were complaining, he must be stealing our sheep at night, and they stayed up at night, and they realized that nothing was happening. It was a crazy miracle, and Levin's sheep were giving birth from this water. Now, later on, when Yaakov met up with Esav, all the sheep that he had from beforehand, he gave over to Esav. The sheep that were born from the water, he kept for himself. It was a nes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a gift from Hashem. So because of that, he kept all those sheep for himself. So later on, when they were shepherding them in the fields, all these sheep that were from the water were shepherded by the Shvatim. Those were all the sheep that they were using and that they were shepherding and everything. Now, it's a certain halacha, it's mentioned in Chulin. If an animal is born on the ground, if it's on the ground, it needs two simani shechita. Two simani shechita, the esophagus and the windpipe, it needs both of those simani shechita, you have to shechit both of them. If it's in the air, if it's in the air, what?
Only for behemoth.
Yes, as opposed to?
Like chicken.
As opposed to a chicken. So, if it's a bird, meaning if it's an oaf in which it's in the air, and even though chickens are obviously, they're on the ground, they still have the ability to fly up in the air. If it's something that's in the air, like a bird, so anything in the air only needs one simen shechita, because that's closer, it's more tahor than the ones that are on land. If it's in the water, water is the most tahor thing in the world. When you get tameh, where do you go? You go to the mikvah. So because of that, water is the most tahor. So because of that, you don't need any simani shechita. So you just can eat it. You can eat a fish whole. It's perfectly fine. I mean, the only problem is baltashaktu. You can eat a fish. You take a fish out of the water and eat it. It's fine. The only problem is it looks disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But otherwise, it would be perfectly fine to do that. What? Even while still alive, perfectly fine. There's no issur of eivur min hachai by a fish that comes from the water. What are you saying?
Why is this with bird only one? It's more tar?
Because more tar, because the air is more tahor than the land itself. The land is more gashmias, the air is less gashmias, and the water is even less than that. It's more tahor, so therefore you don't need any siman shlita whatsoever. So, these sheep that were from the water, they all came from the water. They had the status of fish. Therefore, they didn't need any siman shlita. And in fact, they were mutter to eat from, even though they were standing there and they were fully alive. One of the tainas that Yosef had on the Shvatim was that they were eating Eivur Min HaChai. He said the Shvatim, they're sheep fish. It's fine to eat Eivur Min HaChai from these things. It's perfectly fine. Said Yosef, no, there's Maris Ayin involved. People don't know that. They don't know that these things are sheep fish. They don't realize that. So they think you're eating from actual sheep. Said the Shvatim, who cares? Maris Ayin is only an issue by Jews. Said Yosef, no, it applies by Goyim. They had a machlokas Rashba and Rambam. Okay, they had that whole machlokas. Ended up being, because of that, they thought Yosef got sold down, and they ended up going down to Mitzrayim. So because Lavan, Arami, Obed, Avi, because Lavan ended up tricking my father and gave him the fish, the sheep, then what happened? They heard Mitzrayim, and they went down to Mitzrayim. Born,
that is a crazy.
That's a crazy born. All right, now plus you Gimel. They went down to Mitzrayim. A year in Mitzrayim.
Yosef first,
and then after the Shvatim, the whole what ended up happening. Now Yud Gimel. I only have 2 minutes. Oh, so I'll tell you guys if it's going to be one, or two more minutes. To what I'm going to say. All right, fine. Chavchas Tesvav. The Yonis Menuziel says that what happened when the Tochacha and the Arurs were given all the curses and everything. Six things happened. Number one, there was a huge earthquake, and the entire earth roared. Never heard it roared before. I heard a lion roar once. I've never been more scared in my life. I was in Lincoln Park Zoo, and it was inside that whole cage thing. I was inside there. The female lion starts going, you know? It, like, sees everybody standing there, and all like, ooh, it's eating, you know? Whatever. We're all standing there. And it starts roaring. It goes like, and everybody's, like, making fun of it, like, Then all of a sudden, it goes louder and louder and louder. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And my kids freaked out. All of them freaked out. And that was just a female. We know women are weaker than men. And it was just like yelling out loud. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm like,
He's joking, really.
I finally understood. Why? You think any woman? It's fine. No, she knows how I feel. Are you shog Milo Yira? If a lion roars, Milo Yira, who are you not going to be afraid? I finally got that concept from right over there. I'm like, you hear it roar, it's crazy. But the earth roaring has got to be a lot scarier, because nobody's ever heard that. But anyway, the sun and the moon trembled, the stars lost their shine, the avos cried out from their kvarim, the animals were all silenced, trees and plants didn't sway. All the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov yelled out, chaval on our sins, on our sons, that they must be cursed like this. Abasco came out and said, don't worry, their zechuyos may be destroyed, but yours will live on forever, and everything will be okay for them in the end. That's what happened by the curses. You can tell there's something crazy going on with these arurim, with all the curses, but don't worry. Everything can be turned around. I can't tell you the story because it'll take too long, but everything's going to be turned around. The Chidah proves it. Listen to this pasuk. Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Read the pasuk. Shorcha Tavuach Leinecha. Your ox will be slaughtered in front of your eyes. V'lo Socha Mimenu. You will not eat from it. Chamorcha Gazel Milfanecha. Your donkey will be stolen from in front of you. V'lo Yashuvla. It won't be returned to you. Soncha Nesuna Soleibecha. Your sheep will be given over to your enemies. V'ein Lecha Moshiach. And you will have no savior. Says the Chidah. Read it backward. Moshiach Lecha. There will be a savior for you. V'ein Lo Yivecha Nesunos Soncha. And to your enemies will not be given your sheep. Lach Yashuv, they will be returned to you. The Lo Milfanacha Gazul Chamorcha. And not from in front of you will your donkey be stolen. Mimenu tochal, you will eat from all that you have. V'lo leinecha tavuach shorcha, not in front of your eyes will your ox be slaughtered. You eat it backward, all of a sudden you can try with any other pasuk. It doesn't work, by the way. I tried with almost every other pasuk. I can't promise everything. But it doesn't work with every other pasuk. But he proves it from Chav Ches Lamed Aleph. You can read the pasuk backward. The point is, you think the Torah is going to change, all of a sudden Mashiach is going to come. And he's going to sit there and he's going to be like, guys, all right, we got all these curses, right? So they only applied in the past. They don't apply for now. So let's just skip out on them. You think that's going to happen? Of course not. The Torah is still going to exist. Eicha is still going to exist. But you know what's going to happen? Mashiach is going to go up to you and be like, oh, were you putting the comma there? Put the comma over here. Now look at it. It's a bracha. It all of a sudden turns into a bracha. You look at everything. I give a whole thing. You can darshan it yourself. You can find these brachos within every single pasuk of curses. There is a crazy bracha. An unbelievable bracha. You just got to know how to read it. Eicha. Eicha. If you read it another way, if you read it with different commas, instead of Eicha Yashva Badada Ira Basiyam, how could the city that was full of people sit by itself? You could read it totally separately. Eicha Yashva. How it's been settled. Bidad. I can't go into the whole thing right now because it's a whole thing with the Talmud Hagim, and it's not so, whatever. Okay, we won't go into that right now. But anyway, the Talmud Hagim gives a whole idea how to read out Eicha, that you do it in a way that all of a sudden it becomes this crazy bracha, this crazy thing, and it's like a big simcha. And that's what happens, because the Torah's not going to change. Things are going to be good. Things are all of a sudden going to turn much, much better. That's what we have to look forward to. This entire thing is going to be totally mistranslated. It's going to be translated in an entire another way. Noam Elimelech speaks about this. If anybody can ever find a Sefer Noam Elimelech and read it through and find it, you'll see, speaks about this craziest board you will ever see. Aside from the one that we said before, which was the craziest board you'll ever see, this might be number two, could be even number three on the list, but it's up there. It's all up there. Alright guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good show. Oh, just very quickly, we'll just go over what we just said. Went over Bikurim, we went over Tefillah, the idea of Akar Satov, we went over Rami Ovid Avi, the whole thing with Yaakov Avinu and everything like that. We went over the curses and everything that happens with the curses, the Yonas Menuzio, and Chav Ches Lamed Aleph reading backward. Alright guys, Yonas Menuzio.
Thank you.